WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome to week two of Inside Ben Davis Football for the 2020 season. I'm Zion Brown, joined by WBDG General Manager John Easter and Ben Davis Giants Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. So we have Coach calling through his phone here. We'll start off the first segment talking about the last week's Brownsburg game in which the Giants took a 38-7 loss, Coach. And your offensive line really struggled that night. Why do you think that was, and how can that unit look to improve?
Well, I think Zion, to the naked eye, our offensive line struggled. When you start to take a deeper look at it, our offensive line, we felt like, played fairly well. They have some key misses in pass pro and blitz pickup Friday. But, it felt like as a whole, our offensive line played well, fairly well start to finish. Certainly, they certainly gave us a chance offensively. But I think the inexperience that we had on our football team going into week one showed. It showed when you play a really good football team out of the gate like we did in Brownsburg, a team right now that's a top three team in 6A in the state of Indiana, had eight starters back on offense and had some experience back on defense. Our inexperience at key positions hurt us more than our offensive line did on Friday. And, for us, it was easy to turn the film on and see where we did well and see where we got to get better. I think that's the plus that came out of Friday night, is that when you play a really good football team, you're going to find out exactly where you're at early. And, we were able to do that. And then we're two practices into our preparation for Avon. And, we certainly have a list of things that we get better at and work on. And, that's what we've done through the first 2 days.
Coach, obviously the result was not what you wanted, but you kind of talked a little bit about some positives there. What were some of the other positives that came out of the 38-7 defeat, which I know that doesn't sound like a positive thing, but certainly there had to be some other positives for you.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, we got out of the game healthy. Our guys went 18 straight weeks without being in the weight room. When we came back in July, we didn't have access to the weight room until we really started back up in school. And so when you face a team that's been working out since July 6th, and for us, we had to go hold our own and try and neutralize the line of scrimmage. We felt like we did that with our offensive line. We really struggled defensively in that regard. I think it's easy. You can turn the film on and say they were the more physical and more physically stronger of the two teams. And so we have plenty of work to do in the weight room. And to get our strength back, for one, and then start to develop strength in guys that really missed that spring and summer in the weight room. When you look at our secondary, I don't know that we forced them to throw the ball as much as we would have liked to, just because they ran the ball as well as they did. But I felt like our secondary did a nice job. They have two big-time receivers. They have a big-time quarterback. And we really minimized big plays in the passing game. So our secondary came out and played well. We felt like that was going to be the strength of our defense. That seemed to show up Friday in person and in the film evaluation. Felt like our offensive skill kids and the limited opportunities that they got, speaking of our wide receiver crew, felt like they did an okay job. We certainly got to find ways to get them the ball in space so they can use their skill sets a little bit more. And so for us, we left that game feeling like our offensive line, with the exception of a couple of key mistakes and blitz pickup, did play fairly well across the board too.
too. So, you know, it wasn't all doom and gloom. You know, it's certainly not what we wanted. Certainly not how we wanted to kick off 2020 season. You know, I I'd probably say the last positive is something that we talked about last week, John, and the fact that we're playing football. Not everybody in the country can say that. And you know, knock on wood, we're rolling into, you know, we're at the end of Tuesday, heading into Wednesday, and we may have a shot to play week two.
Coach, you guys offensively got into a lot of third and longs. So how can you try to limit how difficult your third downs are going forward, and especially this week against Avon?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple different layers to that answer, Zion. You know, we open up the game with an 8-yard run, and then we take a sack. And so, you know, if we got to continue to work to win first down, whatever that looks like, whether it's, you know, whether it's in the run game, whether it's in the quick passing game, whether it's taking a shot down the field. We got to look to win first down, and when we put ourselves in a position and we do win first down, then we have to just strictly stay focused on playing complementary football and grinding out first downs. You know, it felt like Friday we felt like we had a good plan going into the game, and again, you know, just some of our inexperience showed in certain situations, and so when you have that and you don't grind first downs out, then we left our defense out there against a group that's returning 8 starters. And their offensive line, I thought, just pounded away at us, and they got extra gaps in situations that gave us trouble. And so, you know, for us, you know, we have to play complementary football as a football team, and that means offensively, until we can get a rhythm established, we got to go find a way just to chunk out first downs, keep our defense off the field, and certainly minimize the amount of snaps that those guys have to take. You know, when you look. Been a long time running since we only ran 24 plays and a half offensively, and you know that was the case Friday night. And some of that was their doing, you know, playing good defense, and some of it, quite honestly, was our own doing. Whether it was turnovers or whether it was just not making good decisions that led to 3-and-outs and otherwise.
Coach, I was going to ask you about Brownsburg. Obviously, they came out and really kind of set the tone early on you guys. So where do you think they are at this point in the season? How good are the Bulldogs?
Well, you know, I think what you saw on Friday is certainly where they're at now in terms of being a top three team in 6A. You know, when we watched the scrimmage film against Center Grove, felt like they went toe-to-toe with Center Grove in some aspects. And then, you know, when you see them live and in person, you know, you're certainly impressed with who they are. When you look at that offense and they have 4 Division I guys on offense and all 4 of them are returning starters, so those 4 guys in and of themselves have a lot of flight hours back. You know, they got a lot of football snaps at the 6A level coming back. And so, you know, they knew what they were getting into Friday. And you look at us defensively and just in terms of the box players alone, we had 4 new starters. So, you know, when you look at the experience factor, I think when you get into a pandemic situation like we all just lived through in March, April, May, and June, you know, I think that experience matters, and you saw that Friday night. I think that's a really good ball club. You know, when you look at how their season shakes out, they got a big game on Saturday on ESPN2 with St. Xavier out of Cincinnati, and then you roll back. You know, you roll it forward to that sectional, and they have Avon, and they have a much improved Pike team, and they have Carmel in that sectional. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on that sectional by the time we get out of the bye week in 6A and get to that sectional, that first round sectional.
And Coach, on defense, your defense committed a lot of penalties. So, what can you and the staff and the defensive players as a whole just do to tone those down going forward?
Well, you know, I think it goes back to experience, and, you know, we certainly keep talking about it. And when you look at the 6 offside penalties we had, you know, working backwards from the first half, you had 1 on the last play of the first half, that field goal attempt that was no good. They move it up 5 yards, and their kicker stepped up big and drove it. That's a senseless, demoralizing type of penalty because it gives up points. You look at their opening drive. We gave them great field position in the first half to begin with, but. You look at their opening drive of the game, and they take the ball over 55 yards away from the goal line because we don't, you know, we're 2nd-and-2 and give up a sack. Then we have to punt, and they get the ball at the 45-yard line, and we give them the first 20 yards on that drive. Well, you just took an experienced, good offense with a veteran offensive line instead of making them drive 55 yards, you only make them drive 35 yards. Well, you're not doing yourself any favors. And then the second drive, we give them, you know, I think we give them 10 or 15 yards on the second drive, a drive in which they took over the ball at midfield. So again, like you can't play a really good football team and give them free gifts. You have to make them earn everything. And you know, we certainly gave, you know, we gave away our free share of yards on Friday night.
This kind of relates to a question I asked last week, where I asked, how do you keep your team locked in when you get a result like this straight out of the gate? How do you keep your team motivated, as to not get too down on themselves?
Well, you buckle up your chin strap and you get right back to work. I mean, it's the same thing we told them after the game. You're going to have plenty of options when you leave here. You know, and I told them this in the locker room after the game. You're going to get, and I started to say you all, and I said, we're going to get beat up on social media, because that seems to be the popular thing in society right now, is to go to social media and overreact. And so, you know, we're going to get beat up on social media. And the best part about that is we have the choice as to whether or not we listen to that, or if we just show up and get to work. And I told them, you need to make sure that you remember who texts you tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, because those people are the ones that you're going to want to respond to when we get this thing rolling. We have a real good idea of how good we can be if we're going to be willing just to show up and keep working and make a commitment to getting better day in and day out. We feel like we can get to a point that's going to allow us to compete for championships at the end of the season, and that matters, you know. But you know, in the meantime, you know, we're getting back into the weight room right now. We're getting into shape. We're starting to do some things as a football team that reflect how good we can be. We can't get caught up in the noise. We can't get caught up in the social media overreaction. We can't get caught up in people wanting to tell you how bad you are or whatever. None of that matters. What matters is how we show up and how we go to work every day, and that's what's going to give us an opportunity to be successful at the end of the year.
Coach, I want to talk about Dylan Moore, because he had an interception and a touchdown on the other end as well, receiving the ball. And just as a junior, how much potential do you think he possibly has to be a great player?
Well, you know, I think he's only going to be as good as he works. You know, there are some parts of his game that are freakish, to be honest with you. And there are parts of his game where he's got to continue to grow and try and fine tune as much as possible. You know, the good Lord blessed him with a frame that not a lot of high school kids have. You know, he's got good length, he's got a good frame, he's got really good football instincts. He's a highly competitive player, and he's got really good ball skills. You know, with all of that being said, you know, his discipline and initial movement, whether it's offense or defense, has to continue to grow and get better. We would love for him to get faster. You know, his top-end speed, something that is a point of emphasis for him, too. So he's a young man that we're certainly really high on. We've been really high on him since he played both ways as a sophomore last year for us. And, you know, we're looking forward to him continuing to provide leadership and provide big plays for us offensively and defensively.
All right, thank you, Coach. That will wrap up this first segment talking about the 38-7 loss against Brownsburg. We will return and talk about the Avon game on Friday here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
Vaping is on the rise among Indiana's youth, despite the negative health effects. I'm Tammy Silverman, president and CEO of Indiana Youth Institute. Research shows that Indiana high school students are more than twice as likely to use electronic vapor products as compared to the national average. While vaping doesn't produce secondhand smoke like cigarettes, it still has many negative health effects. We know that youth are sensitive to nicotine addiction and feel dependence earlier than adults. Nicotine damages the part of the brain responsible for mood, learning, and impulse control. Plus, teens who vape can inhale cancer-causing chemicals and are more likely to start smoking cigarettes. Remember, no nicotine products are safe for your teen. Talk to your kids about the dangers of vaping before it becomes an addiction. This Kids Count Minute is a message from the Indiana Youth Institute. For more parent tips, visit IYI.org. Kids Count on
you. I can't believe we have to make this commercial.
It's ridiculous.
you'll think it's ridiculous too. Listen to this.
This commercial is about, well, it's about parents being rude at high school athletic events.
Ridiculous, right?
It gets worse. Studies show more than 75% of new high school officials are quitting because of bad adult behavior.
So now there's a shortage of refs here in Indiana, in almost all sports.
No officials means no more games.
Is that what you want for us?
Come on, parents.
It's time to grow up.
Cheer for your team.
Be proud of your children.
But stop being so ridiculous.
And don't make us run another commercial.
Because we will.
This message presented by the Indiana High School Athletic Association and the Indiana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association, reminding you to always practice good sportsmanship.
Back here on Inside Ben Davis Football for this second segment with John Easter and Ben Davis Football Coach Jason Simmons. I am Zion Brown, and now we'll talk about the Giants playing Avon this Friday. Avon lost last week 62-34 at Lawrence North. And Coach, Avon's top two receivers, Wallace Stovall and Joe Hall, combined for 312 yards against Lawrence North. The rest of their receiving corps is a little inexperienced, so how do you defend a team like that who you know has two great wideouts but then a lot of inexperience in the other two or three spots?
Well, you know, I think the bad news, you know, if you're a Ben Davis Giants fan, is they're getting their second best receiver back, or second leading receiver from a year ago back. He was out in the Lawrence North game with an ankle injury. Sounds like he's going to be back this week. So, you know, three of those four wideouts that they put out there, every player are going to be guys that we certainly have to take notice to. And when you have a quarterback like Avon has, you're going to have to pay attention to all four guys. When you look at what Henry Hessen does back there at the controls, he has a really quick release, does a phenomenal job reading coverage and getting the ball out on time, which complements the offensive line. And so for us, we're going to have to make sure that we're disciplined with our reads, you know, with our pattern reads, and we have to make sure that we're sound coverage wise, because if those guys get loose in the secondary, especially Wallace, you know, they have the ability to knock the top off and make it a big play really quickly. And we saw that in the Lawrence North film.
Hessen is just the latest Avon quarterback to really be a sensational QB. What does Coach Bless do out there that develops his quarterback so well?
Well, I think when you look at what they do as an offense, they really do a nice job of surrounding their quarterbacks with talented skill kids. But then they also fit their system at the time to what their quarterbacks can do really well. You know, when they had Brandon Peters, they did a nice job of, you know, using some H-back with, you know, I believe his last name was Moore, the tight end H-back kid that ended up going and playing baseball at Purdue. And so, you know, they do a really good job of just having a system and fitting their quarterbacks into their system. And, you know, it's a system that, you know, when you run the football effectively and they coach offensive line as well as anybody in the state of Indiana. So if you when you have good offensive line play, you can run the football, and that's going to open up your passing game a little bit too. They do a really good job of taking advantage of what teams will give them coverage wise as well. And so it's a well-coached football team. You know, I know what the score was last week. We all do against Lawrence North. But you can bet we're going to get Avon's best shot on Friday night.
And in last week's game for the Giants, Dalen Carnell had zero touches. He's probably the best player on the team, the Missouri commit. So how can you guys get him more involved, and what need and how many touches would you like him to have in a game for you guys to have a good shot at winning it?
You know, I don't know that our program has ever been one where we have a predetermined amount of touches for any skill kid. Dalen's a guy that we know as a coaching staff that has to touch football for us. That's a non-negotiable. You know, sometimes it's hard to dictate. You know, we want a guy to have this many touches or that many touches, because when you start forcing touches to a player, you can get yourself in trouble pretty quickly as a football coach. You know, because sometimes you don't always take what teams give you, and so you have to be willing to do that first and foremost. And then for us, some of it just like comes down to experience. You know, we talked about it earlier. You know, we had some inexperienced guys, and Felt like, you know, we certainly could have gotten more in certain situations. And we're going to continue to grow and get better as the season goes on in those spots. But I think getting people touches is a byproduct of experience and feeling comfortable in certain situations. And so we got to work as a coaching staff to make sure that we put our players in positions to be successful and to have success.
Coach, you mentioned experience a few times in both segments here of the show, and there's no way that you can manufacture experience, but what are some things you do in practice to give your team a little bit more as far as reps and an understanding of what may be coming on a week-in and week-out basis on Friday night?
Yeah, you know, for us, John, it's a really good question because I've been around teams that, you know, just kind of roll the same practice schedule out day in and day out, week in and week out. And, you know, we try and be unique with our practice schedule. You know, we go into it every Sunday as a staff and say, okay, this is what we feel like our football team needs. We need this period at some point during practice, or we need this drill at some point during practice. Our wide receivers need this. Our skill kids need this. Our secondary guys need this. Well, let's create a drill. And then when we do that drill, we're going to go ones-on-ones. You know, so when we practice, even when we practice right now, our one defense, or a lot of those guys on our first defense, the guys that don't play both ways are running Avon's defense. Well, that's, you know, for us, that's critical for us. You know, and same thing when we turn around and, you know, we're repping our defense versus Avon's offense. We're going to have some offensive starters running Avon's offense. And so for us, it's about playing as fast, practicing as fast as we can, for one. And two, so you can get those game-like reps. And two, you try and work as many situations as you can in practice while not neglecting the opportunity to get some opponent-specific work in. You know, so it's really kind of a fine line, but, you know, early in the season, you got to figure out what your football team needs, and you got to try and build a practice schedule around what those needs are to give yourself the best opportunity to have success on Friday.
Coach, how much of a balance is it between those situational moments, especially early in the season, and the actual practice that's specific for an opponent? What is there a scientific balance to that, or do you just kind of know when you've reached that balance?
You know, for us, John, we try and work a lot of situational stuff in the preseason. Well, you know, our preseason was different this year because we lost June, and so our preseason was built on what we would normally be doing in June. And so, you know, for us, we probably lost some situational work that we would traditionally get in. You know, we're going to do a fourth down period. We're going to do multiple third down periods. We're going to do an end of the half period. We're going to do an end of the game period. We're going to do a backed up period where you got to go grind first downs out. So we try and do some of those things throughout the week, just to get some game simulation, you know, where your offense is backed up and, you know, you want your first defense to go get a stop. You want your first offense to be able to punch it out and get a first down and try and get a drive going. So, you know, obviously we saw that situation, not necessarily where we were truly backed up, but, you know, we were certainly deep in our own territory multiple times on Friday and could dig out first downs. And those are periods that we otherwise would have had two or three different times just so our guys got a feel for what it takes to get it out of there. So right now, you know, you certainly got to concentrate on getting better day in and day out and making sure that you're identifying where your holes are and figuring out what those holes are. Are they people holes? Are they scheme holes? Are they system holes? And then, you know, when you ID those holes, you got to build practice around, you know, the opportunities to get them better. And so it's a fine line for us, you know, because you still got to be prepared working against the opponent that you're going to see on Friday.
Blake Fisher is the offensive tackle for Avon. He's quite possibly the best player in the whole state of Indiana. So how do you prepare to play an offensive lineman who is so dominant and so effective on the O-line at tackle?
Well, when you see a guy like Blake Fisher, and, you know, we're fortunate that we've seen him every year. He's been at Avon. And, he's a physical specimen. You know, he's the number one ranked player in the state of Indiana right now, and he certainly earned that. You know, probably the most impressive thing about him is he's, from my experiences with him and just, you know, the limited interactions I've had, he's just as good a young man as he is a player. And so, you know, he certainly seems to have a bright future in that regard. But you got to trust your technique with him, and you got to be smart. You can't sit there and get in a fist fight with him. You ain't going to win. You got to make sure that you play with leverage, or you're going to end up on the wrong side of the ball somewhere. And you got to trust your technique. You got to have technique, and you got to trust your technique, because he's going to put your technique to the test. And having played D-line before, and having played against really good offensive linemen, you better have confidence in yourself, because if you don't have confidence in yourself, you're going to play slow, and that's not something he does. But two, you also got to trust your technique and play with leverage, because if you don't play with leverage against him, he's going to make you pay. And he's a good football player. He played some defense against Lawrence North, so it wouldn't surprise me at some point on Friday maybe to see him in the middle of that defensive formation for them, especially while they navigate a relatively young defense early in the season. It just gives them a big veteran plug in the middle that can be disruptive to an opponent's offense. So you really have to trust your technique with him, because he's a good player.
I often try to bring a historical perspective to Inside Ben Davis Football, and a personal historical perspective on this game is my dad was the first varsity football coach at Avon. I know there were some other coaches that preceded him coaching JV, but my dad was one of the first varsity coaches out there. So over the years, the Giants and the Orioles have played 14 times, and the Giants lead the series 10-4. Any particular memorable games stick out for you in your time here at Ben Davis, Coach?
Oh, shoot. We played him in a sectional championship in 2008, at our place. I think any time you have a chance to leave your mark on a program like Ben Davis and certainly take the first step in the tournament series and win a sectional championship, it's a big deal. That 2008 tournament run, great group of kids. They were a lot of fun to coach, as you remember, John. It was just a fun time in our program, especially for me. I think in the early part of the decade, there were a lot of memorable tournament matchups. When you look back, 2010, 2011, there were some real physical, high scoring, fun football games to be a part of. And I don't know that this is going to be any different on Friday. It's really developed into a great rivalry. We certainly have had Avon on the schedule now for a while. It's one of those games, that should be on the schedule every year. We're both 6A schools, and we're right down the street from each other. And so, it's certainly shaping up to be a good matchup on Friday.
Yeah, I remember a matchup in 2014 when the Giants were on their way to the state championship game, and it snowed in the sectional. It was a really nasty night. I think it was even Halloween, and it snowed that night out at Avon. Just a really windy, wild game, and really neither team played very well, but the Giants won 34-27 that night. But, you're right. This is a great series, and you think Giants won on an interception one year, an interception return by LeSean Miner, I believe. Got an interception and returned it all the way. So, yeah, it some great games in this series. They're often close, so hopefully this one will be as well Friday.
You bet.
One last thing. What do you just think has to be the big turnaround, the big key difference from Brownsburg to Avon for you guys to have a shot to win at Avon on Friday night?
Well, I think if you would ask me going into the Brownsburg game, what did we have to do as a football team to have success? We had to take care of the football, which we did not do against Brownsburg. We had to neutralize the line of scrimmage, which I felt like our offensive line battled and competed and did a good enough job. Felt like our defensive line struggled in that area. And, I felt like we had to make more big plays than they did, and we didn't do that. And I think when you look at this game, Zion, I think it's a great question. Two, I don't know that it's any different this week. We're playing an explosive offense that can put points up on anybody because they got a lot of experience back. They have four offensive line starters back. The quarterback is back. They have three wide receivers back. So, they certainly have eight starters back on offense. And so, they've been in big game situations. They've been in big games, period. They're going to be able to put points up on anybody on their schedule. And so we have to find a way defensively to, to neutralize those big plays, especially in the passing game. And we have to find a way offensively to play complementary football and try and keep our defense off the field so they're not taking those shots on all night long.
All right. Thank you, as always, for joining us, Coach. Don't forget to watch or to listen, on Friday night on WBDG. Pregame will start at 6:15 with kickoff at 7. Kevin Gleva and myself will be on the call from Oriole Stadium. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football on Giant 90.9. Have a great evening.